You can go ahead and have a seat. Sorry, I had to unload a baby there. Took a little extra time. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody. So we do have a few announcements to go over before we get started. Matt, you want to come do these or no? Well, welcome back to the church, by the way.
If you need me to get the dates right, I'm glad.
Yeah. We let them back in. All right. How could we not? Next Sunday, August 10th, we are doing our Baptism Sunday. So that will be at Center Lake Bible Camp, which is just down the road. I got a chance this week to go visit that campground. What a beautiful campground. That's like a hidden gem, just like right in our backyard. So we're going to be over there, worship service. Bring a lawn chair. Bring snacks if you want. I don't care. You can bring snacks. It's just going to be a good time. And I know of one baptism that we're going to have. Thought I saw him back there. There he is. And so if you are interested in being baptized, please let Leslie or myself know and we'll get you all signed up. Next on the list is the men's camp out on Friday, August 15th. It'll be here at the church. Bring a tent. I'm still stuck on this, but I'm going to say it. Bring a camper or a tent. Malachi, you bringing a tent? You're bringing a camper, aren't you?
I thought about it.
Uh-huh. How did I know out of everyone you were going to bring a camper? Because you're a Michigan fan. That's right. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
Because it has air
conditioning. Much wiser.
It's pretty cool when you're going to come hang out in the air conditioning.
I will see you in there. So that starts at 6:30. We have hot dogs, s'mores. It's going to be a good time. Talk to Nathan if you have any questions. I don't think he's here this week again as well. So we really need to talk about his priorities. But here's the big news. Our fall kickoff is coming up on September 7th. Okay, so this is like the kickoff to start the year. And so we're going to have games. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have food. It's going to be after service on September 7th. So we'll come in, we'll have our normal service. And then after service outside, we'll have a bunch of games and different things coming. And it did get confirmed that at some point that day, Guardstrong, right? Am I saying that right? Guardstrong will be here to show off all their feats of strength. There's more details to come for that, but just start marking your calendars. That's really like the way that we like to kick off ministry because most people skip on summertime. I don't know why, but they do. If you look around, we're down a little bit of people. So make sure you tell your friends, tell the ones who aren't here. That's our kickoff. And it's a great way to invite people to come to church that weekend. Like, hey, the pastor, he's not that great, but listen, afterwards there's going to be games and food and lots of cool stuff. Okay, so that's your ticket in right there. Did I miss anything, Leslie? No? Okay, good. All right, so we are going to continue our summer sermon series, Songs of Summer, and we've just really been sitting with the Psalms this summer, just kind of sitting there and just kind of reading through them slowly. And so hopefully like after service, like you're going home and like throughout the week, you're pulling those notes out, you're pulling that psalm out, and you're really spending some time with it, just sitting with it. And today we're going to be in Psalm 23. So if you want to get your Bibles out, you can go ahead and do that. The words will be on the screen as well. The interesting thing about Psalm 23 is almost everyone knows this psalm. Like it's one of the most popular psalms that you can read, funerals, weddings, like whatever. You can use this psalm for whatever you want, really. And I bet, now I didn't grow up in church, okay, so I came to faith late. I didn't grow up in church, but I bet those of you that did grow up in church, you could recite the King James Version of Psalm 23 to me right now without having looked at it at all. How many of you think you could do that? Or get pretty close? Six of you, okay. That's good. But it's interesting like how like popular this psalm is. And so as a pastor getting ready to preach on this, one of the challenges that I have is when I say we're going to be in Psalm 23, I have to get you excited about Psalm 23. And you have to get to a place where you're like, oh, I've heard this so many times. And then as soon as I start with Psalm 23, you go, get your quick nap in before lunch, right? No, don't do that. Don't do that. So hopefully this will be a new perspective on Psalm 23. So let's go to the word of the Lord right now. Psalm 23 goes like this. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you now just having read your word and the Psalm of David and just the beauty that exists in these little lines. And we're asking now that your spirit would be upon us, that you would open our hearts to what it is you have to say to us today. Lord, let us look at Psalm 23 today in a different way. Let us see it in new light. We know that your word is a living word, and that whenever we approach it, your spirit can touch us in any number of ways. And so we're asking for that today, Lord, that your spirit would be anewed in us, that it would be refreshed in us, that it would guide us, that it would lead us. Lord, I pray that as I begin to preach and when I mess up, Lord, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people, that it would be not my words they hear, but your spirit and your words, that we can gather around your word this morning, Lord, and that's what we focus on. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Very interesting to start out with, and Devin and I didn't talk about this. Like, we didn't mention this at all, but it's funny that he, like, focused on Psalm 23:1, like the very first verse, because that's what I'm focusing on is Psalm 23, verse 1, because you can't get to the rest of the psalm without understanding verse 1. Now, again, you're like, oh, Dylan, here we go again. Like, we're going to be stuck in verse 1 forever. Yeah, we're probably going to be stuck there for a while. But everything after verse 1 makes sense once you understand verse 1. Right, so the rest of it doesn't make sense unless you understand what David is talking about. And so Devin and I didn't even talk about that. And so he really warmed you up, all right? But I'm going to drop some knowledge on you, okay? Kindergarten's over, all right? We're in first grade. First grade. I'm just giving him a hard time. It's interesting that while I was on vacation, I would read the word or get stuck on a verse. And so I would actually text Devin and I would send him the verse and I would say, here's my thoughts. And it'd be like a paragraph. And it's like, just send back whenever you're ready or whatever. And so we would send correspondence back over days. So our heads are scarily similar. I don't know if that's good or bad, but they...
You just have a nicer beard.
I do have a nicer beard. I will give you that. I will definitely agree with that. So... let's get back on track. All right, Psalm 23:1 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. That's verse 1. So our first point is this, God's presence is your greatest provision. God's presence is your greatest provision. The Lord is my shepherd. So you'll see that the Lord is all capitalized, which is very similar to Psalm 8, which we talked about last week. And it's the word Yahweh, Jehovah whatever you want to say. It's the word Yahweh. When we sang the song, "The Great I Am," Yahweh is the Lord declaring, "I am." Like, that's what that word means. One of the issues that we have as a culture today is that we don't have the reverence for that word like they did. Like, we read something like the Lord and we're like, yes, that's cool, but, and then we kind of move on. Like, the Jewish people, like, they wouldn't even say the word Yahweh. Like, they would come up with a different way to say God, which was often Adonai. That's often how they said the Lord, which it wasn't all uppercase Lord. It was capital L and the rest was lowercase. I know, you're like, what are we doing right now? Like, this is important, okay? Trust me. The reverence that they had for the name of God was far beyond what we can actually understand. Because what they believed in was that the name of the Lord revealed everything about the Lord. That if we were to understand God and how he has revealed himself to the world today, it is seen through his name. And so oftentimes, like today's culture, you'll hear people take the Lord's name and use it many different ways. I'm not going to give you examples because I want to keep my job, okay? But you've heard them. You understand what I'm talking about. And so what David is trying to do is he's trying to reset us here and trying to show what the Lord is. And the Lord is my shepherd. Now for us, again, how many of you know shepherds? I think you guys are actually honest on that one. There's not a lot of shepherds running around. Like, we don't understand that context. But for David, they would have understood completely what a shepherd was, what a shepherd does, and the meaning behind a shepherd. Because there is a meaning behind the word shepherd. And so that's what we're going to kind of get to in this first part is, why is David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need," right? So David, and you kind of touched on this, David knows exactly what it means to be a shepherd. 1 Samuel 17, see, I came with verses. You didn't come with verses, I'm just saying. 1 Samuel 17, I don't even know why I said that. Gracious sakes. Get it together, Dylan. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37 says this, "But David persisted, 'I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats,' he said. 'When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death.'" Is there kids in here? Yeah, this is good stuff. This is the Bible, man. It's fun stuff. Read your Bible more. "I have done this to both lion and bears, and I'll do it to the pagan Philistines too. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." May the Lord be with you. So this is a very layered story that David is telling, right? So he's giving you his experience as a shepherd. So he's showing you what a shepherd does. Like, he knows exactly what a shepherd does because he did it. And so he rescued the sheep from the lions and the bears with his rod. It says club in here, but it's a rod. That's right. His rod and his staff. We'll get there. So he's protecting the sheep. He knows exactly what to do in that moment. And so when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I want," he knows that he has a protector. Because David has been down that road. He's protected the sheep. But the second layered part of this, and the deeper meaning is, as he was a shepherd doing all this, he trusted in God. And it's very evident in the Old Testament that the Lord was with David throughout his life. Now, he had some ups and some downs, but the Lord was definitely upon David. And so being in those moments of being scared, of trying to fight the lion and the bear, He knew exactly what it meant to have the Lord with him. And so his experience is more than just being a shepherd and knowing what it is. He was a shepherd who was facing a valley, right? We'll get a little bit further in there, with the Lord with him. And so it's a very nuanced meaning that David is trying to get us. And if we understand the story of David and how he became a shepherd and how he became a king, and as he's writing this psalm, if we understand all of that context, that first verse unlocks for us. And so to see that in the trials of David's life, he was willing to count on the Lord in those troubles. So when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need," David lived it, but more than we expected, he lived it. Like, we understand that he was a shepherd, but he walked with the Lord through those times. That's what he's getting at with that first verse. A little bit further, 2 Samuel 5, 2 through 3 says this: "In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, 'You will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader.' So there at Hebron, King David made the covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel." A little bit further in Psalm 78, it says this: "He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands." One thing that I was surprised about this week as I was doing my research is how often David is referred to as a shepherd in the Old Testament. Like, in my head, like, I understand that he was a shepherd, right? Like, we can all agree that we're there. But to get to this place where, as David is getting ready to take the throne of Israel, like, the divided kingdoms are about to come together, and David is going to be the king, they describe it as a shepherd caring for sheep. Like, there has to be meaning to that. It can't be just, well, he was a shepherd, so that's the way that we're going to describe it. No, like, the kings of old in the ancient Near East, like, shepherds were seen as royalty. They often describe kings as royalty. And so we'll talk about a little bit later how this changes, but at this point, a shepherd king was what you wanted. You wanted a king that was explained as a shepherd. Like, this was very important for this time. And so it kind of threw me off a little bit to think that, man, David is really referred to as this shepherd king. And I had never made that connection before. And so what you get is this shepherd boy is now being viewed as the king of Israel. And what's the first thing to describe him as? A shepherd who is caring for his flock. So again, we understand that David's a shepherd, so he knows exactly what that's like, but he has walked with the Lord through all of this. And so the fact that he has walked with the Lord and now he is king over everything, over Israel, he's going to walk with the Lord again. Now, again, this understanding of the shepherd king unlocks this first verse, right? It gets a little bit crazy. Are you ready? Isaiah 40, 10 through 11. "Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." You want to talk about layers? We're getting there. Man, this psalm really, really opened up when I know I'm going to keep saying it, when I stopped at verse 1. Like, I'm not kidding. And I'm not like trying to fill time. They said I can go as long as I want, okay? Only two people thought that was funny. Everyone else was like, please don't. Please don't. Can we just get to verse 2, please? What the prophet Isaiah is talking about in this verse. You have a shepherd boy who was turned king. And now you have the prophet Isaiah saying, there is someone greater to come who's going to be even greater than our king, King David. And he's going to be a shepherd of the people. So again, they're using this metaphor of a shepherd. It's so important. And when we, us, 21st century people, read the Word of God, we have to be very layered in our approach and how we read Scripture. Like, we have to understand the top meaning of, like, what was David talking about at this time? What was the context of his writing? How did he do that? And then we have to take a step back and, like, what else is in the background of what he is writing? And then for us, we have to say, where is Jesus in all of this? Because we have that luxury. And I know I've said it a few times as we've been through this series, like, when you're reading the Psalms today, you have to find Jesus there. Because if we as a community believe that every single word in this book points to Jesus, which I believe that, then where is he in here, right? Like, that's where you should get when you're reading Scripture today, especially the Old Testament. It's easy in the New Testament. It says, Jesus said, well, okay, there's Jesus. But the Old Testament, you really have to stop and read slowly and spend your time with the Word. And you have to get your Google search out or whatever it is that you use and find out that in Isaiah, he's talking about a shepherd leader coming. So the prophet is saying there is someone coming that is going to be greater than David, the one everyone thinks is great. I mean, consensus would say that David was probably the best king of Israel. And Isaiah is saying there's someone greater coming who's going to shepherd the people. Let's read about the one that's to come. John 10, 11 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. There's Jesus for you right there. And so this very first verse of Psalm 23, where David declares, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And so for us, when we read that set of scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, Jesus. And in Jesus, we find completion, perfection. There is nothing else that we need other than Jesus. That's what David is saying with that very first verse. So now that we have that understanding and that context, and you can clap after this if you want to. We're going to move on to verse 2, okay? I got one. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate you. But I think it's so important. Like, if we don't understand what David is trying to convey with that one line, then the rest of it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Verse 2. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Our next point is this. Stillness is where restoration begins. And so the first verse, David is telling you that the Lord is his shepherd. He does not need anything else. And then as we get to verse 2 and 3, he goes on to tell you exactly what a shepherd does. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. These are all descriptions of what a shepherd king does for his sheep. And so as we saw, this is exactly what Jesus does for his people. And in the NLT, it says, he lets me rest in green meadows. And I don't particularly like that translation of that phrase. I'm more on the phrase of he makes me lie down. So like all you like King James people are like, yes, maketh. He maketh me lie. I think the NLT actually, and we were reading widely to get a good sense of how they translated a certain phrase or word or verse, and you can kind of put those things together. But I think a better translation here is that God often makes us lie down. It's not too often that we willingly lie down. If you're like me, I've got things to do. I've got things to accomplish. I don't have time to lie down. I don't have time to rest next to streams. I mean, it sounds great, but Lord, I got things to do. Right? Has anybody ever felt like that? And so oftentimes it'll be the Lord who makes us lie down. I wanted to, can you bring that picture up real quick? This is a green meadow in Colorado. And so every time I read this verse, this is the place that I go. So we had to climb up probably 800 feet and get to the top of this mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, it just opened up between two mountains. And you just had this big meadow right there, right? With the quiet stream that went through it. Like, I walked up there and I was like, oh, Psalm 23. I found it. I started looking for sheep, you know? I'm like, where are they? There was none up there. There was moose, but no sheep. What's the plural of moose, anyway? Does anybody know? Is it meese? No. I didn't think so. Seriously, what is it? Moose. It's just moose and moose? Moose. I like mooses. There was a moose and another moose. How about that? Is that good? Okay. I'm off track again. Anyways, what was my point of this story? Do you remember? I do, yes. Okay. So this is a big meadow. And whenever I read this verse, this is exactly where I go. And this is where I think of like God forcing me to lie down and rest. Now, it doesn't always look like this. Sometimes it looks like the couch. Sometimes it looks like a bed, like whatever it is. But in my mind, this is where I go. This is where God is making me lie down. And so I got to tell you an interesting story. It was, what day was it? It was Friday. So this is a real-time story, by the way. Friday night, I took my kids camping. Now you're like, ooh, whatever, right? No, this was our first time camping, okay? So this was a milestone for the Kelly kids. Now we went really far. We went right on our property, about 100 feet from our house, okay? Don't judge us, okay? It was our first time. And so we're out there. We're tent camping, not glamping in a camper, okay? We're in a tent. And so we do all that. We sleep. Everyone sleeps outside. No one went inside. It was great. It was a success. Like, you couldn't ask for more. And then we had got up on Friday and did all of our things or whatever. And then Saturday rolls around, okay? And we're back in the house. And I'm sleeping and the kids are sleeping. And I got a lot to do. A lot. Like on Saturday mornings, typically what I'll do is I'll wake up early, I'll do some study, I'll do some writing, some journaling, all this kind of stuff. I know it makes me sound really spiritual. It's not, okay? It's just my process. So I'll do that, and then I had plans this Saturday to go to Yoder's to get donuts because we haven't had their donuts yet, and everyone keeps talking about their donuts. Everyone says you have to go get their donuts. Why haven't you gotten their donuts yet? I don't know. We just haven't got there yet, okay? But that was my plan on Saturday. I was going to go get some donuts for the kids. We were going to enjoy it. And then I had, what else did I have to do? I was cleaning out our pantry to start getting that ready to, we're building shelves in there and all that kind of stuff. So it was a busy Saturday, okay? I had a lot of stuff to do, a lot of chores to do around the house. And so I'm lying in bed. The kids are sleeping there. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up 5 a.m., start my normal stuff. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lay in bed. I'm just going to lay in bed. So I laid in bed, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Guys, I never sleep till 7, let me tell you. 6 is like the latest. But I just kept feeling like I don't need to get up, which is weird because I often feel like I need to get up and I need to start doing stuff. But I just had this like this peace about like staying there. And so 8 o'clock rolls around. And in my head, I'm like, you are so lazy, Dylan. Get up. But I still felt this sense of just like sitting there. And there's a point to the story. I'm getting there. And so what happened was the two kids that were left sleeping, there was actually three. Judah was sleeping as well. But the two middle ones, they crawled in bed with me. And I had one kid on each arm. And it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, Lord, you're really good. Like really good. Like I can't even like make this stuff up. But on that morning, my green meadow was my bed. And the Lord caused me to stop and wait and rest so that I could spend those moments with my kids. One, I won't say who, because you know him, so I won't say his name. Oh, I got three boys. I'm good. Okay. He doesn't like physical contact. He's like, not at all. He's like a little standoffish, even like with me. He's just like one of those kids who doesn't like to cuddle. And he curled up in my arms. And I don't often get those moments with him. And so without being open to the Spirit at that moment, and without allowing the Lord to lie me down, to make me lie down, because every inch of my body wanted to get up and move and go do something, I would have missed that moment with him. And then the Lord's like, and you should probably share this on Sunday too. I was like, okay, Lord, sure. But isn't it funny? When we're obedient to the Spirit, how he truly shepherds us and leads us and guides us and renews our spirit. And I thought exactly what David was talking about in that moment, in this psalm, was happening right there on that bed. Was in that moment, the Spirit was renewing me, he was guiding me, and he was leading me. And I'm so thankful for that moment. I want to move a little bit further. Revelation 7:17 says this. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Whatever your meadow is, like wherever like you feel like God is like calling you to rest, to be renewed, to find peace, what they're talking about here is the ultimate making you lie down and rest. Is that when Jesus comes back again, like the battle's already won. Jesus defeated everything on the cross. And when he comes back, Psalm 23 is going to be lived out daily. We're going to have green meadows. We're going to have calm streams. We're going to be renewed. We're going to be led. Like all of this is going to happen because Jesus is on the throne. And that's what they were talking about in Isaiah, is that someone is to come later. Yeah, Jesus led as a shepherd here on earth and gave us an example and showed us exactly who God is. But don't let us ever forget that what they're saying right here in Revelation, this is the true gift of Christ. Yes, we can have peace on earth. Yes, we can be renewed on earth. Yes, we can be led on earth. And all of those things happen. But let us not forget that Jesus is coming again to restore his creation. That's the ultimate peace of Psalm 23. But again, it's not unlocked unless you truly understand verse 1. To know that the Lord is my shepherd. Is that when Jesus comes back, he's going to lead his sheep. He's going to guide them. He's going to restore them. He's going to renew them. Good news. We made it to verse 4. You ready? Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Our next point is this. God's presence is deeper than the darkest place. Even when I walk through the darkest valley. Isn't it funny that one word or phrase can invoke different feelings among you? Like, I'm sure that when I read the first part of verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, something popped in your head. Some valley that you had to walk through at some point in your life popped up in your head. Or it might even be a valley that you're in right now. You could be walking through the darkest valley of your life as we speak. And it could be a valley that you haven't told anyone about. You're walking this valley by yourself. What David is saying is that you're not. We don't walk through the darkest valleys of our lives by ourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. And remember, after that, he was telling you exactly what a shepherd does. And so we get to verse 4, and we learn that when we walk through those dark valleys, the Lord is right beside us. And his rod, which is used as a club to protect, and his staff, which is used to navigate and keep count. Like, you can't even make this stuff up. So when we walk through those darkest of places, the Lord is walking beside us. And I wish I could tell you that you're never going to walk through a dark valley, but that would be a lie. And I don't think you want your pastor to lie to you. At some point, you're going to walk through a dark valley. At some point, you're going to feel shame. You're going to feel regret. You're going to feel less than. At some point, you're going to make a choice that has huge consequences, whether in your business or your personal life or whatever it is. Valleys look different in each of our lives. And I can't tell you what your valley is, what it looks like, or how to get through it. All I can say to you as your pastor is trust in Psalm 23. Because if you believe the first verse of this psalm, everything after it is true as well. So if the Lord is truly my shepherd, not just a shepherd, right? We didn't hammer that point home. David is saying the Lord is my shepherd, which indicates that God wants a personal relationship with you. So that when you walk through those valleys, he is right beside you, guiding you and leading you and protecting you. That's what Psalm 23 is about. Verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I love verse 6. We'll get there though. Next point is this. The table is set even in the middle of the valley. There's a, I don't know if you noticed it, there's like a dramatic shift in the psalm. And it goes from, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me tell you what a shepherd is. Oh, by the way, he's a dinner host as well. Like, did you pick up on that? Like, all of a sudden, the Lord is now a dinner host who is providing a table for you. It's an odd transition, but it does make sense. But if you, like, when you're first, like, reading it, I don't know, maybe it's just me. When I first read it, I'm like, David, what are you doing here, man? Let's continue with the shepherd thing. You were going so well. It was all making sense. And now we're talking about a dinner host and a table. But it makes sense when you talk about walking through the darkest valley. That the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to be with me wherever I go, even in that darkest of valley. And when I have my enemies coming at me, the Lord has prepared a table for me. And why would he use the imagery of a table and a feast? It's because of abundance. So the Lord has prepared a table for you that is full of abundance. Now, where have we heard about abundance before? Genesis 1. What does the Lord say? It's all yours. Everything that you see is yours. You just can't have this. That was the ultimate promise to Adam and Eve, was full abundance of creation. You are going to rule, subdue, and create with me, and everything is yours. That's the promise of Genesis 1. And then we get to this verse. And David is saying, the Lord has prepared a table for you that is full of abundance. Can I let you in a little secret? Most things often point back to Genesis. That's like the thesis statement of the whole Bible is Genesis. So it's like, where's Jesus? And then your second question is, how does this relate to Genesis? And so this table of abundance has been prepared for you. Now we got kicked out of that table, right? Adam and Eve made a choice that got us separated from that table. But Jesus has brought us back into right relationship with God so that we again can eat at that table. So that in the face of anything that is going on in our life, the darkest valley that we are walking through, Jesus is saying, come to me, come sit with me, and your enemies can watch you. But you are sitting with me at the table of abundance. What a blessing that is. And I love that verse 6 sneaks in the word that we talked about that very first week. He says, surely your goodness and unfailing love. We talked about the hesed love of God. This covenantal love of God is there for you at the table. But the interesting point about this one is, surely your goodness and unfailing love will what? Pursue me. God's love is chasing after you. God is active in the whole thing. It didn't say that your unfailing love will be there whenever you're ready to accept it. God's saying, no, I'm coming after you. Any way that I can, I'm going to come after you. My hesed love is for you, and I'm coming to get you. That's a very active God, which is a very different picture than what we normally get, right? The church today will say, well, if you accept Christ, if you walk with Christ, if you would do your devotions, if you, like, You. It's not about our works. It's not about what we do. It's about God chasing after us. Listen, the greatest chase that you'll ever see is when God took on human form and went to the cross. There's no greater chase after you than that. Like Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins, for the punishment that we deserve. Like, I don't know how greater God could come after us than that. Like, that's how much he loves us and cares for us, is that he was willing to take all of eternity, step away from it, put on human form, go to the cross for us, die for us, so that, remember Revelation, come back again and give us everything that we deserve. That's the greatest love story that you're ever going to hear. That God was willing to chase after you. That he's willing to chase after me. Like, that's how much he cares for us. And so don't ever think, and Psalm 23 confirms that what you do determines how much love you get from God. I think the church will tell you that today. Like, however much you do means you'll get that in return. It's like, no. God loves you. He pursued after you. Now, there should be fruit from that work, right? Like, this is the balance of good works and fruit and all that kind of stuff. And we can get into that to a different time. But what I wanted you to understand today was that God is pursuing you. He came after you in a big way on the cross. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit to pursue you daily. I wanted to kind of end with this before we jump into communion, because the table is set for you. And that you have a seat at this table in the face of your enemies. We get to come to this table and declare the name of Yahweh, that he is my shepherd. Like, that's what we're going to do here in a second. But I wanted to give you just kind of a quick recap of everything that David says a shepherd does in Psalm 23. So a shepherd gives rest, he leads, he renews, he guides, he erases fear, he is near, he protects, he comforts, he prepares, he honors us, he pursues us, and he gives us life. Where do I sign up for that? Well, you believe in the one true shepherd, right? The one that went to the cross. That's how you sign up for that one. And so as we go to the table today, a table prepared for us, I want us to keep this question in mind. Do you believe you belong at God's table? Or are you still waiting for an invitation? I want you to think about that question as we get ready for communion. Because often what will happen is the enemy will put in these little notes into your head. That's the best way I can put it. This note of fear. This note of shame. This note of regret. Saying, you're not worthy enough to be at the table. You should just stay in that valley. Just stay there. And so the enemy gets a hold of us and tells us all of these lies. But what God is saying is that wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you're walking, I will be with you. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will give you strength. I will renew you. I will protect you. I will keep you safe. Like, all of those descriptions that David talks about, those are for us because Jesus went to the cross. Your invitation has already been sent. And you serve a God who is actively pursuing you daily. we here at Dighton practice what we call open communion, which means you do not have to be a member here at the church to participate in the sacrament. All we ask is that you who are walking in fellowship with God and are in love and harmony with your neighbor, and you who do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from this time in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and meekly make your humble confession to Almighty God. So we're going to continue in doing this sacrament. So we'll keep the form the same as we always do. We'll do the outside rows first. They'll come get their elements, and then we'll get the middle row as well. Keep your elements until the end. We'll take it all together as a community. I've never mentioned this, but I keep getting reminded, all the bread is gluten-free. So if you have gluten issues, all the bread is gluten-free. I remember this time. It's only been 6 months. Sean, will you, on this table over here, and then any of the board members, if you can help with traffic duty out there, that would definitely help. So once you have your elements, go back to your seats, and then we will come back together. We'll take communion together. We'll celebrate Psalm 23 in the holy name of the Lord. Then we'll sing one more song, and then we'll go back and do verse 1 again to make sure that you got it. I'm just kidding. I was seeing if you guys are awake, because some of you are like on the edge, like, is it lunchtime yet? Let's get the elements, and then we'll come back together. David could have ended the psalm probably many different ways if he wanted to. But he chose to end it as a feast. So even walking in that dark valley, David chose to end the psalm with a feast to say that God is going to redeem us, that he's going to set a table where we can sit down and the abundance will be in front of us. But the important part of that section is the one part where it says the table has been prepared. Nothing that you did prepared that table. God pursued you. God went to the cross for you. The Lord prepared that table so you could sit and eat in abundance. And so Psalm 23 is a great reminder of Jesus going to the cross, and up upon that cross, his flesh was broken. And so today we take the bread in remembrance of that. How often in the darkest of valleys, for whatever reason, you could have been going to church your whole life. You could have been the one that raised their hand and said, I know Psalm 23 in this version. I can say it to you without a doubt. How often do we forget the promises that are in those verses? It doesn't happen when you're on the mountaintop. It's so easy to praise the Lord when you're on the mountaintop and everything is going great. You're like, the Lord's great. I love this. This is perfect. It threw it in life. Valleys. And they poured out his blood upon the cross for us. And so today we take it in remembrance. Would you go ahead and stand with me? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, We're calling upon your Spirit now to open our hearts and our minds. As we have spent time together today as a community, discerning what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that wherever we are in life, whether we're on that mountaintop singing your praises, or whether we're in that deep, dark valley where it feels like there's no end in sight, there's no reprieve coming soon. Lord, you promise that we won't be alone in the darkest valley. Not that we won't go through the valley. Lord, we would all pray to take away the darkest valley just like that if we could. But it's often in those times of the dark valley that you're leading us, that you're guiding us, that you're refining us, that you're shaping us, that you're molding us, that you're teaching us exactly what a shepherd does. Thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the table that you have provided for us, this table of abundance. And Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this week, that the people of this community, that if we remember nothing else, we will remember that the Lord is my shepherd and I have all that I need. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, everything that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Don't you ever forget that the Lord is walking with you wherever you go. Even in that darkest of valley, even when it feels like it's never going to end, and it may never end, but the Lord is with you. His rod and his staff protect you. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.